Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica for the smile of health and True Shave, the beforehand lotion, present the Eddie Cantor Show.
No wonder I'm happy, I've good reason to be. Cause no baby likes, my baby likes me. No wonder I'm singing, I'm sure hitting high C. Cause no baby likes, my baby likes me. I'm high in the sky now, cause we've got a date. I'm flying so high now, just look at me, I'm like a P-38. You know it's no wonder the preacher is all set for his fee. Cause no baby likes, my baby likes me.
No matter where we go, he says you're okay.
It's getting my ego to hear her talk, you think I'm Carly Boy, eh? And someday we may welcome a small he or a she. Cause no baby likes, my baby likes me.
No baby likes me.
Listen, Eddie, before you go any further here, let me congratulate you. Happy birthday, fella.
Happy birthday.
Well, God, thank you. Thank all of you. I thank you all, really. You know, Harry, I've never felt better in my whole life. Full of pep, full of...
Oh, thank goodness.
I really feel good.
Well, Eddie, you know something strange I was just thinking of? Your birthday is today, and President Roosevelt was yesterday.
How do you like that? Just miss being president by one day. Isn't that what
By the way, Eddie, just how old are you today?
I feel fine. I feel good. I'm one year older, Harry.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't mean that. I mean, altogether, how old are you? When were you born?
All right, Harry. I'm not ashamed to tell people I was born on January the 31st. Gee, I feel good.
Eddie, wait. I don't... No, listen. What year were you born?
Regardless of when I was born, I feel like a youngster again.
Yeah, well, I hope it's a boy this time.
No, Harry, I didn't mean it that way, Harry. I mean, I feel like a youngster. And here you want to know how old I am?
I do. I'd like to know, if you don't mind.
January 31st, 1892, I'm 53 years old today. I feel good.
You're 53?
Yeah.
That's a lot, Eddie. That's a lot of years.
Well, what do you mean a lot, Harry? There's a lot of fellas 53 who are ordinary privates in the Army, Harry.
What Army?
The German Army. They'll take anyone.
Well, listen, Eddie, I wasn't trying to make you feel old, but I know from insurance companies that the average man has a life expectancy of 47.
47?
47, yes.
You mean for the past 6 years I've been on a furlough from Forest Lawn? No, those insurance people, they must be wrong, Harry. Lots of great men have lived to be 80 and over 80.
Yeah, oh, but maybe so, but look at Napoleon, what a great man he was. 46 and...
You mean at 46?
Yeah.
But Harry, I feel good. I felt good. Harry, maybe I ought to lie down for a while.
Oh, no, listen. Eddie, don't lie down.
No.
At your age, that's one position I try to stay out of. Oh, yeah, never lie down. Why make it easy for them?
Him! Harry, do you think...
Let me see your tongue, Eddie, here.
Oh,
well. Why, your tongue looks marvelous, absolutely marvelous.
It does, doesn't it, Harry?
Yes.
Isn't it good?
Yes, Eddie, it really is a shame to think that perfectly good tongue has to go with you.
Harry, go away. You're too depressing. There must be someone who loves me, someone who can cheer me up.
How do you do?
Now the depression is really on. Frank Gordon, the mad Russian.
Dick Evans.
Yes?
Here's a little present for you. A carton of cigarettes.
Oh, a whole carton of cigarettes. Well, that ain't hay.
Where do you smoke them?
Tell me, will I like them?
They contain that certain new ingredient.
Apple honey?
No, alfalfa, sweetheart.
Yep, give them back. So you bought me cigarettes, huh?
And flowers.
Oh, flowers for my birthday.
Well, yes, for your birthday. And if anything happens, it goes for that, too.
Russian, listen, I'm aggravated enough. Von Zell just told me that the average life of a man is 47.
How old are you?
53.
Ha ha! That's very funny, very funny.
What? What's funny?
For 6 years, I've been working for the Canterbury Goat. Joke.
Yeah, Russian, will you get out of here right now? If there's anything wrong with me, I'll go to bed.
Okay, and I'll bring over 6 nurses.
6? I only need 1 nurse. What are you going to do with the other 5?
Silly boy.
That's not funny. I'm going home and call Dr. Cheryl Rattino.
First, let me give you a take a temperature.
Yeah.
There.
Is this the thermometer?
Yeah, that's in the thermometer there, right there. You see? In the bloodstream of the human being, present company accepted, there are veins and arteries. If the arteries are going up, then you get in trouble with the OPA. But if the arteries are going down, then you are in bigger trouble, because that is known as fallen artery.
Here, take it out. Here.
Very well. Let me see what it says.
Read it. What does it say on the thermometer?
Good heavens, it can't be, but it is 125.
125. I'm dead. I gotta go home. I must go to bed. Good night, everybody.
Hey, what happened to Eddie?
I took his temperature. Here it is. 125.
120? Oh, you fool. That's the price tag. $1.25.
$1.25? That's terrible. I made an awful mistake.
You did?
Positively. I could have bought the same thermometer for 98 cents wholesale.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I've said anything to make Eddie Cantor feel bad tonight, I thank you. However, if I can say anything to make you listeners feel better faster, you'll thank me, particularly on those mornings when you wake up feeling sick and headachy due to the need of a laxative. You'll feel better faster if you take a glass full of sparkling Sal Hepatica. For Sal Hepatica, taken then, brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. As a matter of fact, any time you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, take Sal Hepatica and see how much faster you feel better. And along with quick, gentle relief, Sal Hepatica gives you an additional advantage.
This famous saline helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So why not get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist? Remembering this caution, use only as directed. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better thanks to gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Eddie, finish your tea and stop acting like an invalid.
Who's acting? I'm telling you, Ida, I'm so weak I had to break the toast over my knee.
No.
I don't feel good.
Eddie, I've been telling you, your age is all in your imagination.
Imagination, nothing. Ida, if anything happens to me, promise you'll never get married again.
Oh, Eddie.
If you ever had a boy, I'd come back and haunt you.
Oh, go to sleep.
Alan, I phoned you because you're the only one I can turn to. I want to find someone who has a husband as old as... you will do it for me, won't you?
Oh, well, of course, Ida. We'll come right over. Goodbye.
Oh, Gracie.
Oh, yes, George?
Who was on the phone, dear?
Ida Cantor. You know, she's terribly worried about Eddie.
What's the matter with him?
Well, he thinks he's getting old. Today's his birthday, and he's 53.
Oh, Eddie can't be 53. That's impossible.
Really?
Sure. He's at least 78.
Oh, George. George, he's not. Huh?
Well, Bertie was a big star when I was wearing knee pants.
Oh, well, that must have looked funny. A middle-aged man wearing knee pants.
Yeah, it was a scream.
Well, anyway, Ida wants us to come over and try to make Eddie feel younger. You know, she's tried everything. She even gave him spinach to make him strong like Popeye.
Did it make him strong?
No, but it made him Popeye.
Well, come on. Let's go. I hope we get there in time. He's not getting any younger, you know.
Oh, you know, I feel so sorry for Ida. She doesn't like being married to a man who laces himself up in a corset, wears a chin strap, covers his face with skin food.
I guess not.
Oh, personally, I don't mind it at all.
Well, come on, let's go.
Oh, George and Gracie, I'm so glad you came over.
Glad to do it, Ida.
Old, huh? Oh, yes. He came home tonight, drew up his will, ate a bowl of mush, and canceled his subscription to Esquire. Oh, poor Eddie. You know, I think I know how to make him feel young again, Ida. Where is he?
In the next room.
Well, when I get through with him, it'll be goodbye adrenaline, hello bubblegum.
Oh, who is it?
Excuse me, Mr. Ladd. I'm looking for Eddie Canada.
Did you say Ladd?
Well, yes, aren't you Alan Ladd?
No, Gracie, I'm Eddie Canada.
Oh, go on. You can't be Eddie Canada. He's much older than you. Why, he must be close to, 30.
But it's me, I tell you. I'm Eddie Canada. You think I look young?
Young? Why, I swear you were your own son if I didn't know it couldn't happen here.
Gracie, Allen, you're just kidding me. I'm an antique, a relic. I go way back. I remember the first telephone, the first automobile, even Roosevelt's first inauguration. My life is over.
Oh, nonsense, Eddie. Why, you're just a boy.
Me? A boy? Gracie, just how young do you think I am?
Well, if you were a girl, Georgie Jessel would be after you.
No, Gracie, I'm through.
Oh, it's all in your mind, Eddie. I wish George was half as youthful and fascinating as you.
You mean that?
For sure. Now, there's a man who's getting old.
Uh-huh.
Last month, he made 15 trips to the blood bank.
Well, that doesn't sound like an old man.
15 trips for one pint?
Oh, I see. So George is getting old, huh? This is awful news. Terrible news, and I love it. Tell me more.
I thought this would work. Yes, Eddie. The fire in George Burns has burned out.
No fire at all, huh?
Not a bit. I'll bet Ida doesn't have to wear galoshes to bed to keep her feet warm.
I should say not. Ida knows she can depend on me. I bought her a hot water bottle. Look. Gracie, tell me more about George.
Well, his tonsils are in very bad condition, all black and blue.
His tonsils are black and blue?
Well, yours would be too if they got hit by 100 vitamin pills every day.
I thought I was slipping. Tell me, how do you and George usually spend the evening?
Oh, well, we stay home and have a three-handed checker game. Me against George and the maid.
George and the maid?
Well, someone has to move those heavy checkers for us.
Gracie, this is wonderful. You've made me young again. Gosh, I feel like a car bomb Casanova from San Francisco. Excuse me. Ida. Where's Janet's bicycle? I think I'll go over to the high school and work out with the basketball team.
Eddie, George is here to see you.
Well, George! George Bernard Shaw.
Eddie, I'm George Burns.
Oh, of course, forgive me. I get you two mixed up.
Well, there's quite a difference in our ages.
I don't know. He's pressing you, George.
Gosh sakes, Eddie. Do I look that old?
Did I say you looked old? I think you're remarkably well-preserved, George. You're all right.
You think I've aged since our vaudeville days?
Not a bit. Oh, I see one tiny little wrinkle, but it doesn't show.
Good.
The big ones hide it.
Ida! Ida, it's chilly in here. Bring George a shawl.
A shawl? I don't need a shawl.
Oh, yes, George, to keep the shoulders warm. Very important to a man your age.
Well, I don't have a shawl, Eddie.
For George's shoulders, a handkerchief, anything.
I felt pretty good when I came over. Now I'm beginning to feel a little tired.
Well, it's only natural, old-timer. Now I'm going out to the garage and find Janet's bicycle. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Eddie.
And George.
Yeah?
You must have Gracie wheel you over here more often.
I thought he was old, and he's going out on a bicycle?
Well, come on, darling. We better be getting home.
I don't think I can walk right now, Gracie. Not as young as I used to be. I guess I better go and lie down on the couch and rest a while.
Well, Ida, can you beat that? We get one husband rejuvenated and the other one folds up.
Yes. Gracie, do you ever wish you were married to Charles Boyer?
Why, no, goodness, no. Well, I've got a husband much handsomer than Charles Boyer.
And I've got a husband much handsomer than Charles Boyer.
Why, I've got the most fascinating husband in the world.
And I've got the most fascinating husband in the world.
Now let's side with nylon.
Say, we better do something about George.
Well, now this time it's up to you, Ida. I kept up your husband, now you've got to work on mine.
But how?
Well, any man with blood in his veins is susceptible to flattery.
Well, I'll try it anyway.
Oh, I know. Tell him you're mad about him because of his singing voice. That'll pep up the little ham. And make it convincing. I'll come in and pretend to catch him in your arms.
Well, all right, here goes. George.
Yes, Ida.
Oh, darling, we're alone at last. How I dreamed of this moment. I know it's wrong, but I'm mad about you, George. Mad, mad.
Ida, you mean you're sort of attracted to me?
What woman isn't attracted to sugar throat burns?
Sugar throat? You heard me sing?
Yes. And those golden bars of melody imprisoned my heart.
Oh, down in the garden where the red rose grows. You like it?
Like it. It's as thrilling as the fragrance of jasmine, the touch of mint, the sight of butter.
Oh, down in the garden where the red rose grows. Yeah, I knew I had a pretty glorious voice, but Ida, doesn't Eddie sing to you?
You call that singing? He jumps up and down, claps his hands. I like a man who stands there like Crosby.
Oh.
Or leans there like Sinatra. Oh, well, let's not talk about Eddie. Let's talk about you, about us.
Now, Ida, you've got to fight this mad desire for me. It'll be tough, but gee, Eddie is...
Uh-huh, so I find you in another woman's arms.
But I'm not in her arms.
Well, you're supposed to be.
Now, look, Gracie, Ida threw herself at me.
Oh, you didn't have to capture, you little athlete.
There's only one thing to do, Gracie. I want him. Please give him up.
Ida Tanner, you get right up off my husband's lap.
But he's so young, so tender.
I know he is, and I don't want him bruised.
Well, I found the bicycle. Now, Ida, what are you doing on George's lap?
Boom, 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 down in the garden. Where
Eddie, she's fallen for him. She's trying to make my dreamboat drift away.
Dreamboat? He looks like the poop deck on a tramp steamer. Tell me something. Gracie Allen, how could she fall for George when she can have my sort of man?
Yeah, Ida, what's wrong with Eddie? He's a sort of man.
Gracie Allen, I want romance.
Gee, Eddie, I'm awfully sorry about this.
It's all right, George. I see now that I was only kidding myself. Here, you take Janet's bicycle. Ding-dong, Daddy.
Okay, old-timer.
Well, Ida, I guess we overdid it. George feels young, but Eddie's a wreck again.
Yes. You'd better sit in his lap and give him the routine.
Routine? Wait a minute. This was all an act? You don't really think we're young and passionate?
Oh, sure. We still think you're young. Don't we, Ida?
Very young.
Practically fine.
I'm just
say.
All right.
Let's go to the parade.
Let him go, George. What do we care? We can always get along.
You think so?
Sure. Don't say anything. I got a number written right here in my little black book, and I'll share it with you.
What's the number?
Here it is. 901-473-524.
That's some phone number.
That's my social security number.
Come on, let's go and collect.
Eddie, weren't George and Gracie cute tonight?
I love them.
We must listen to their Swan Soap program next Monday night.
We will, Ida. I listen to them every Monday night. I really do. But turn on the radio now, honey, and see what's doing on our program, you know.
Oh, Harry.
Yes, Nora.
Now that Mr. Cantor's sick, Leonard and I thought we'd have to do the show alone. Could you lend us a helping hand?
Nora, can I lend a helping hand?
Oh, here it comes, Ida, about the hand.
Well, I can not only lend a helping hand, but I can lend help to a hand that needs helping.
See, took 2 days to think that up.
What do you mean, Harry?
Well, I mean, if a woman's hands need helping to make them look more beautiful, there's one sure way.
Truché.
And that's truché.
What did I tell you?
Harry, did you say truché?
Like she never heard of it before, some actress.
Yes, yes, Nora, truché.
Now he'll spell it.
T-R-U-S-H-A-Y.
There you are.
Truché is the hand lotion that you can put on your hands before you put them in hot soapy water. So Truché's beforehand protection can help guard your hands from the rough drying effects of that hot soapy water. Smooth on Truché after you do the dishes, too, for extra protection. Use Truché for rough elbows, as a powder base, as an all-over beauty lotion.
Say, that Harry Von Zell, he loves his work. I'm worried. Turn off the radio, Ida. Let's go to the studio. I want to see what...
Why not begin today to use Truché?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nora Martin and our choir sing a song that should be close to all our hearts.
Brighter day is on its way, have faith in things to be. Our hearts keep saying just to pray, and soon you will see.
There's a happy land somewhere, and it's just a prayer away. I dream and plan is there, and it's just a prayer away. Where the skies look down on a friendly town, filled with laughing children at play. Where my heart will sing, for it means one thing, I'll be home at the close of each day. There's a happy land somewhere, and it's just a prayer away.
You know, victory is just a prayer away. The physical implements of war are speeding to our men in ever-increasing strength. But let us send them, too, the spiritual implements, our faith, our love, our prayers. Let us go to our churches, now, today, tomorrow. You to yours, I to mine. Let us join in a community of prayer for the safety, for the lives of those so dear to us all. There is a house of God near you. Don't wait for its bells to ring out the victory. His doors are always open. God is always there. And peace may come one day sooner if we will work for it and pray for it. The church lives for you. In lands of tyranny, when all the institutions of civilization, science, art, and government succumb to the will of the oppressor,
It was the institution of religion which alone stood out and resisted evil. An undaunted voice proclaiming the triumph of the spirit which lifts man above persecution and fortifies him against violence. So let us fill the churches with our prayers for a just and lasting peace. Let our pleas be heard around the world so that within the churches of the conquered countries they will hear and know that a greater day is coming for all people everywhere. That through prayer we will be united with peace on earth and goodwill toward men of goodwill.
There's a happy land somewhere, and it's just a prayer away.
If a cold is getting you down, take this bit of advice, will you? Get yourself a jar of Minute Rub, modern chest rub, and help yourself to some fast relief from those annoying cold symptoms. Rub a little Minute Rub on your throat, on your back, and on your chest. And in a minute, you'll begin to feel Minute Rub's welcome relief. There'll be a pleasant sensation of warmth, and at the same time, Minute Rub's active menthol vapors will help relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat. Yes, in just a minute, you'll begin to feel Minute Rub's relief. And listen, Minute Rub is greaseless, stainless. It won't harm your clothes or bed linen. So get a jar of this modern chest rub, Minute Rub, and help yourself to fast relief from uncomfortable cold symptoms. Just ask for Minute Rub.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.